Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. Dr. Les Olala, co-host of the broadcast, is with me in the studio, and we are looking at our cups of coffee, our Bibles, and ready to jump into the second part of a broadcast we began last time, talking about how to handle all of the pressures that come as we hit that stage in life where everything seems to be expanding.
Right. Handling multiple responsibilities, and it always happens at the greatest pressure time of life called midlife, from 30 to 50 years old, when our children are growing, our church is growing, our responsibilities are growing. If you're a man at work and you've been promoted again, it's another pressure, another responsibility while the other things are going. We need the wisdom of God, according to Ephesians 5. We need to have a right focus, a right perspective. But we're just dealing with the practical aspects of reality.
And we're just trying to put this right down where everybody lives.
Right. But that center line of responsibility, we can never escape day-to-day responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Pressure is being one step behind where I should be. Joy is being one step ahead of where I should be. Normally, we start out joyfully because we're a little ahead, and then we get bogged and we get a little behind, and the pressure becomes because we're just a little bit behind of where we ought to be. And it's for several different reasons. The predictable things are manageable. The unpredictable things put us under a lot of pressure. Yeah. And we talked about two major realms of our life. One is family, the other is church.
And we spent most of our broadcast last time talking about that one area, the first area, which is certainly the one we live 24/7 in, and that is the area of our family.
Yes.
Pressures that come with aging parents and parents who are in ill health, or perhaps parents that don't understand why we're doing the things we're doing at the stage in life that we're doing them in. And then, of course, children.
Right. Children that are born with difficulties and then some later who develop attitude problems that make very unwise choices.
And then, of course, there's the pressures that come financially as kids grow and, you know, the things that you used to be able to buy a little pair of shoes for $12, now they want the $75 pair of shoes.
Right.
I mean, you've got all of that going on.
Everything that goes with all of the influences of life. And then at the same time, our church life is increasing because as you have grown, you've gotten more involved in the ministry of the church. The children are growing. They're getting involved in the ministry of the church, many times in Christian schools, sports activities. Evenings are now taken up by good things, by right things, and yet we begin running out of time.
You feel like you're on the end of a ski boat holding onto the rope, and you kind of fell in the water, and you don't dare let go of the rope.
Right. And I know that feeling. I've been being pulled behind a boat, and somebody wants to see how fast they can go before they can dump you. And you're hanging on, saying, there's no way I'm
not letting go of this rope.
And it seemed like the boat is going faster and faster. Now, let's talk about our church responsibility.
Sure.
We have marriage on one side and ministry on the other side, whether we're full-time, quote-unquote, workers or whether we're lay workers. We all have the obligation as believers to be involved in the local church. Now, while our family is growing, while our parents are aging, while our children's needs are increasing, what's happening on the church side?
Well, we're getting asked to do more and more. We're being given more and more opportunities as we grow in our spiritual life. And as people see us, you know, this guy's been in church now for 5 years. He ought to be doing something.
Yes, and then what about the physical plant of the church? I mean, what happens as a ministry grows?
Oh, you have to build things, and now you're in a building project, and you have to take care of what's built. So now you have responsibilities with that.
Okay, let's take Brookside, for example. How was Brookside built? Was it a turnkey operation
no,
by a contractor?
No. In almost every phase, most of the ministry that is there physically was done by the hands of the men and women in the church.
While they were raising their children, while they were tending their parents.
While they were working full-time.
While they were working full-time.
And while they were keeping other aspects of the ministry going.
Right. And so that's realism. But it's not like they're 80 years old. They're 45 years old. They're 50 years old. They're 35 years old. And the needs of the children, homework. I mean, hey, I've got to go work church because we're laying block tonight. And they need somebody to mix mortar. Well, who's going to help the child with homework? Well, okay, honey.
Holy Spirit.
No, the wife said, no, I have to be there to cook because they're going to need.
Yeah.
It's all good things, but yet these things become under pressure. So you have projects.
Right.
What other problems come within church ministry?
Well, obviously you have people problems.
People.
That start taking up more and more of your time.
Yeah, I've often said I would love to be called to the uninhabited fields of the world. I'd love to pastor a large church with no members and have a large Bible college with no students. You could really have a ball because when you enter people into the picture, it's a given. People who are born in sin, which is generally the case.
Right, except for a few pre-raptured ones.
Yes, and so you have projects related to the church. You have people related to the church. And both are very, very demanding. Mm-hmm. But when is this happening?
Right in the middle of all of this.
Right in the midlife.
And then you have expanded ministry opportunities.
Yeah, because as one thing grows, more people get saved, mm-hmm. more opportunities arise, more bodies are needed, more time is necessary. And that's the realism. And what continues on, that line of responsibility continues on. How do you balance multiple responsibilities? How do you do these things? Going back to a previous broadcast, we went through roles that you're doing, roles that you can eliminate, roles that you can delegate, then make a list of what you cannot eliminate and what you cannot delegate, and prioritize that remaining list, and then discipline yourself to follow through. Sometimes it demands saying no.
Yeah, then we were talking about directing our energies.
Yes.
In that broadcast. Sure.
Yeah, that broadcast, and it becomes a realistic thing. 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We have to keep that perspective
right.
in mind.
Right. What are the wrong responses that you have seen in your ministry as you help people through this stage in life? What are some of the wrong responses that you've found to be common?
Quit. They just throw it all in. Say, I can't do this. Because they begin equating busyness with godliness. And they say, I can't do this. It's never anybody's intent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you get trapped in so many things.
Mm.
And instead of saying, okay, let's sit down now and think through this. Let's back away from this situation for a while and look at it from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Looking in, put a chair, empty chair across from you and counsel yourself, they just throw it all in and say, I can't live this way. Mm. I can't handle this anymore. Another thing I think is get bitter, become cynical.
Yeah, I've seen that.
You see a lot of cynicism that begins to come in, and it's all of it is a reflection of not being filled with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And the cynical mentality, the cynical attitude, and oftentimes it comes from comparisons. Well, so-and-so can do that because their children are grown. Or so-and-so can do that because they have all the money they need.
Yeah.
But we have to struggle for everything that we do, and we can't get our car running to get there, and we have to have someone else. And I think it just becomes,
that really is where people live.
It is where people are. It's the realism of all of it. And then they say, well, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go somewhere else where that's not that, where I can just enjoy being a Christian. Well, you still have to take you with you because our problem is how we handle situations. The situation is a revealer, not a causer.
Mm-hmm.
And if I run, I have to take me with me. And if I could leave me where I was, I'd be happy going where I'm going, but I have to take me along because I become the problem.
Yeah.
My attitude becomes the difficulty.
Have you seen people who, you know, you talk about the responsibility going and you have one side of it family, one side of a church. Have you seen people just run to one side and leave the other side altogether?
Right, because oftentimes people are more conscious to please what's visible and leave what is not visible go.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, nobody sees the inside of our home, but people do see me at church.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I am tending to want to please people, which is a good trait, the first thing I tend to let go is not that which is invisible at home, it's that which is visible. I tend to let the invisible things go so that I can maintain my image on the visible side. And while these other things are deteriorating, the visible is ongoing. And then I've seen some who quit everything church-related and say, I've got to focus everything on family. It's an imbalance. That's why God plead with us that we would have walk circumspectly, that we would be wise in these matters.
So how would you help? I mean, what are the solutions you would give to somebody in this situation?
Live long enough to grow out of it. I think that's a start.
Yeah.
Because by the time you get into your 60s, these things are past experiences, and you're not carrying the load.
Right.
You're contributing to help your children with their children, but you're no longer getting up during the night. You're no longer doing the medical things. You're no longer doing those things. But then we're facing the fact that we're aging.
Mm-hmm.
But that gives us reason not to be as involved as we once were. Because as we're getting older, we cannot physically.
Mm-hmm.
So again, the focus goes back on the Lord,
mm-hmm.
where it needs to be all the time. But when we're in the middle of that pressure, we need one another. We need spirit filling. We need to have a grateful spirit. What's the solution? Develop a gratitude attitude.
Mm.
Philippians chapter 4, contentment.
Mm.
Sure, I'm bombarded. Sure, I'm stretched. Sure, I'm pressed. But are you content?
Mm-hmm.
I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God doesn't put me into things where he does not empower me to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes our focus gets wrong, and I think we need to gauge our frustration level to make sure where is it coming from so that we don't let frustration cause us to just...
Drive us.
Drive us and cause us to...
This is where you were talking earlier about needing to sometimes take a step back and letting that kind of snap us back to reality.
Yeah, I think step away from a situation for a day. Sometimes the godliest thing we can do is go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Because it helps us. When we're rested, we think more clearly. If I'm frustrated about something at night, I think this is never going to change. There have been times in my ministry where I've literally said, I hate what I'm doing. You know why? Because I felt I was in a vice.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt every day that thing
got tighter and tighter.
Got tighter and tighter. And so what I had to do was change my mindset, change my mental attitude, because I was taking too much upon myself for the solution rather than saying, hey, you know, God's the enabler. God's going to give the wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
God is going to give the things that we need to have, that we need to do in life. And God has to be my focus. He has to be my confidence. I have to keep the eternal perspective in mind. And you know what? He will give wisdom when we ask him.
Sounds like this is the time to see how big God is.
Yeah.
Well, Doc, we're out of time on this broadcast, but thank you for taking us through this simple little set of ideas that will help us to handle life when it gets pressured in those middle years. Those of you who are listening, let me encourage you to pick the broadcasts up that you have missed at thewordforlife.org. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.